David, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. So looking at this rather concerning study, why has overfishing become such an issue in Australia?
Well, I think the thing with this study is it's a long-term study that uses not only fisheries data, but what we call fisheries-independent data. That is, we don't rely on, for part of the paper anyway, rely on the fishermen to report their catches and assume that had something to do with how many fish are in the sea. It actually involves over 500 sites around Australia as part of this reef life survey, which looks at a range of fish, not just ones we catch, but others. And what it found was that fish were declining in the areas where there's heavy fishing or there's fishing allowed versus where there's not fishing allowed.
What kind of damage can this kind of decline actually do to the overall marine ecosystems?
Well, of course, the fish themselves don't do too well when they decline. But a lot of these fish are at the top or near the top of the food chain. And so whether it's something really obvious like a shark or something or a tuna, the smaller fish, bream and that sort of thing, have a role in the ecosystem that if removed is quite substantial. You know, they may control another type of food, which then if the bream are removed, that increases in numbers and does some other, and made some of the change. So it just changes the natural nature of the local ecosystem.
You know, if we're pointing towards overfishing as a cause of this, I mean, it's got some fairly obvious implications for the future of the fishing industry here in Australia. I mean, I know I'm not a professional fisherman, but I know when my father and I go out crabbing, if we catch a female crab, you throw the females back, you only keep and cook the males because you got to depend on a population continuing to grow in this area. Now, if you're seeing these big fish stocks that the fisheries are relying on declining by 30% and yet still keeping up that same number of fish being taken out of the ocean to sustain your profits, I've got to imagine that's going to be just a growing and growing problem. So what kind of economic and fisheries implications does it actually have?
Well, globally, the real worry is Australia. We're near the top of the tree in fisheries management. There's no question that, you know, there's not as much illegal fishing. There's good management of stocks and that sort of thing. And for this sort of decline to be happening, you know, on at one of the best, it makes you worry about the rest of them, doesn't it, really?
Mm.
And economically, you know, many places rely on their fish and fisheries and the jobs in rural communities and that sort of thing. And they've seen changes. And of course, in the South Pacific near us, there's even more dramatic changes. It's not just fishing, it's climate change as well as another of many things, and ocean plastics. And climate change, of course, is particularly an issue, I think, in Australia, because we're not in the cold waters like New Zealand or the North Sea or whatever, where there's very productive fisheries. We're in that area where we're just on the border of being productive. And so it doesn't take much in terms of climate change to really shift that southward and away from state waters or federal waters. And so there is a real risk that, you know, the economics of it, and also the fact that, you know, we like a supply of seafood that's local, and that's going to get harder and harder to get, I feel.
I mean, the most obvious example for climate change has been people pointing towards the Great Barrier Reef and the decline we've seen there because of heated waters. It really seems like Australia's the canary in the coal mine when it comes to the kind of climate change effects that the rest of the world will be seeing.
Yeah, that's actually quite a good way to put it. And of course, you know, I do extensive work on the Barrier Reef. We've been monitoring coral and fish populations on the Southern Reef for 25 years now, and we've seen the ups and downs. And we were very lucky because the Southern Reef missed the big coral bleaching events of 2 years ago and last year. But the Northern Reef, where all the corals are, had enormous loss of corals and therefore the associated fisheries. So that's, and the world knows about the reef. What they don't know as much about is the rest of our coastline, and they actually call it the Great Southern Reef now, just to highlight what an important resource it is. It just gets a bit overlooked. There's some magnificent habitats, and it's under threat from a number of sources, not just fishing, climate change, pollution, and people in general, really. We're all responsible.
I have seen that phrase cropping up more and more, the Great Southern Reef. It's been called a wake-up call. This study's been called a wake-up call for Australia, for our fishing industry, and I imagine government as well. If I'm a little bit cynical on this one, I think we've seen a few wake-up calls from climate change advocates go ignored in the past. Certainly this one regarding the fisheries and overfishing and the like, maybe something will change. What, in your opinion, needs to be done to protect the fish population we currently have?
Well, you're right to be a little bit cynical about how wake-up calls wake anybody up, because we often see when there's an issue, the relevant industry, whether it's the coal industry in the case of climate change or whatever, the fishing industry in the case of, say, marine parks or fishing management, the first thing they do is put up their defences and, you know, really ignore or at least obfuscate, I guess is the funny word people use. I mean, they throw their hands around instead of saying, look, you know, this study is important. Let's sit down with the authors or with whoever and let's work out what we can do to help and that sort of thing. Instead, the first thing they do is try to find little errors and things like that. Oh, this can't be true. We're the best. And, you know, it's very disappointing when industry, and this doesn't always happen, when industry sort of almost shears away from the environmental side of things, because our sustainability is the environment, really.
One to definitely keep our eyes on. David, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
No problem. Take care.